anything like that.
I'm a very confident front runner. I've caddied for 33 years, 145 wins now, and that's the best win I've ever had.
I have no idea what you have.
I don't know. How are we going to count all the shots? I can't keep track.
Fuck! God damn it.
I don't think he's pleased.
Of course, well, that's a particularly stupid question. It's the Irish Open. Of course, we want to play at the weekend.
Now, hello, Golf Weekly fans. You join us as we reflect on a win for Rory McIlroy at TPC Sawgrass at the Players. We're joined here in studio by Nathan Murphy.
How are you?
And Peter Lowry.
Hello, Joe.
With us as ever. We're hoping Paul McGinley will join us in about 10, 12 minutes time or so. They're having a launch day for the Irish Open.
They are.
Okay.
Well, they're just having a reminder, I think, of it's coming up. Speak nicely of it.
Mm. Padraig Harrington this week committed to the Irish Open, which was a huge fill-up.
It was doubtful.
A surprise, wasn't it?
Did you ever get a press release about your commitment to the Irish Open?
I don't think so. No. Thanks, Nathan.
So now we have Harrington, Lowry, and Tommy Fleetwood.
And, sorry, I just jotted it down.
Lee Westwood, Danny Willett.
Tommy Fleetwood, Lee Westwood, Danny Willett, yes.
From talking to some people around the tour, they feel that it's all going to be later this year. That, in fact, a lot of players don't want to commit to their preparation for the Open The US Open is finished.
Okay.
Which is just 2 weeks before the Irish Open. Mm. So I think a lot of them are probably going to think, well, that worked for the PGA and it worked for the US Open, or it didn't, having the week off before or 2 weeks off. It's surprising. I was just chatting to people about there. How Americans won't travel. You would think it couldn't be set up better for American golfers to come over, play Lahinch, which McGinley has said he's going to have set up as close as possible to a replica of Portrush. Mm. You get a week off in between where, again, you can go and play some brilliant links courses at your own leisure.
Yeah.
You're over all the jet lag and you're perfectly primed for the final major. They spend all their time telling us how important the majors are. But if it involves leaving America for 3 weeks in a row, I'm not that bothered.
I was just going to say, I hear what you're saying. I love the logic. And all I'm thinking is 3 weeks away from the family.
Yeah, just do 2 weeks away. And even wasn't that Jack Nicklaus big thing, 2 weeks away?
We'll get on to all the business at hand. There's lots of several things, things, including Brooks Koepka's weight loss. And nobody quite knows why. We'll get to
Does
that
he
in a
moment.
He seems to. He says all will be revealed.
Can't afford to eat.
24 pounds he's lost.
Wow.
He's lost 12 yards off the tee. He says, I don't have as much feel. I just feel out of sorts. There is speculation it's for the ESPN body issue.
What?
I kid you not.
Oh, no.
We'll come to that later on. Okay. Did you ever?
No.
So, George Bush.
Oh, it's a slagging day.
Oh, dear. Sorry. Okay. We'll get to tweets in a second, but I like this. George Bush, GW, number 43, 72 years of age now, had his first hole-in-one.
Wow.
Wonderful.
Well done, George.
Yeah, recorded his first hole-in-one on Wednesday at the Trinity Forest Golf Club, according to his Instagram page. They asked, what's your next goal? He said, live to 100 so I can shoot my age. It's the kind of homely humour that gets you elected president. But I went down a hole then. Trinity Forest Golf Club. It hosts the Byron Nelson these days. This was only designed in 2013. Ben Crenshaw designed it. And they took on 100 members initially. I presume Bush is in pain, but they took on 100 members initially. At a cost of, now don't be ridiculous, 2013.
100 members, 2 million a pop.
No, 150,000 a pop. This shows the circles you mix in. really does. I was then trying to, but 150 grand for a course that wasn't even designed.
That wasn't designed?
No.
Apologies, I thought it was.
No, it was just in 2013, we're going to build a golf course. Do you want to join?
Actually, 150 grand for 100 members, if you're going ultra exclusive, isn't that expensive?
No.
Considering there's golf clubs in Ireland that were charging, what?
30, 40, 50 grand.
This was just the first glut, though. Like, they've taken on many more members.
Oh, have they? Since. Oh, I thought that this was...
Oh, no.
We're going to have 100 extremely rich members.
No. This is like, you're just the first in the gate, but there's lots more after you. So I was trying to look up then the most expensive golf courses to join. And I think it's difficult because a lot of the golf courses don't publish.
Exactly.
So the ones
if
on
you've
record,
got to ask the price... You're probably not going to get
it. Afford it.
Because I went on to the Trinity Forest Golf Club to try and see could I suss out how much it might cost. No idea how much a round costs. I don't think you can just play around there. And no idea how much membership costs. The one thing they say is no tipping caddies.
Wow.
Maybe they think it's unseemly or whatever. The ones on record, Liberty National in New Jersey, this is in euro, 277,000 euro a year.
Okay.
Wentworth seems to be like 200 grand a year.
They pushed it up when the Chinese came over. By 100 grand.
Great bunch of lads.
Yeah, I think it's €200,000 now if you want to play at Wentworth every year. And then
what?
Every year, yeah.
Oh, sorry, this is an annual membership.
Oh, sorry, I presume this was the joining fee.
God knows what the joining fee is.
No. That's why I thought you said that. That's why I went with 2 mil for a joining
fee. Oh, right.
Yeah.
Sorry, 200 grand per year.
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
Liberty National is 277 grand a year. Mm. And then Jack Nicklaus, the Bears Club, 150 grand a year. I don't know what the joining fee is, the initiation fee.
Isn't there some American golf clubs where you're there, and then when the bill comes at the end of the year, they just split it. So whether you've been there 20 times or you've been there once, it's the same price.
See, there's then a whole different stratosphere where your money's no good, really. Like Augusta, famously, didn't Bill Gates almost give Bill Clinton a nudge to say, can I, you know? And Bill passed the message on. And they were almost so affronted that someone would, like, ask. Gates didn't get in for about another 10 years afterwards.
Okay.
Like, your money's no good at Augusta, really.
Do you get into Portmarnock straight in?
I was a member there in a past life, yeah, as a student member from UCD.
Okay.
What's Ireland's most expensive club to join?
Would it be Adair Manor now?
I don't mean like a green fee, I mean to join.
No, that's what I mean, yeah.
I don't know.
Would it be Adair Manor?
I don't know.
Well worth it, though, I would say.
Portmarnock? What's Portmarnock?
You can't get in.
You need to be nominated.
Yeah, I don't think it's actually that
what
expensive.
What if I won the Euro Millions tomorrow and I suddenly had 100 million quid?
Yeah.
Would I suddenly get in?
You could buy it.
Just shut it down to piss them off.
Are there still golf courses in Ireland?
For sale?
Charging 20, 30, 40, 50 grand joining fees.
The very few.
Very few.
Very few, I would have said.
Yeah.
I think a lot of golf clubs are actually trying to get members in, and they are recruiting members any which way possible.
Well, there's been a constant issue, though, hasn't there, for the last since the boom and into the bust, whereby so many people paid 10, 15, 20 grand joining fee that they don't want to see it reduced to 2 grand, 5 grand, because they're thinking, well,
all my money's gone.
I got screwed here. Why are we letting the 25-year-old in for 2 grand now when I paid 15 grand?
And you'll have a bunch of angry members who paid up initially saying, you've got to give me some kind of percentage
back. That's the big thing with members. They don't realise that. Like, you go to, let's say, you buy a subscription off Sky, right? And you're a current member of Sky. You pay, say, €150. But your introductory offer is, say, €100. But this can't work in membership golf clubs.
Yeah.
Because members go, well, why is he paying less than I do?
Oh, yeah, I've no doubt. We'll get to your tweets before we get into Rory McIlroy, and we may interrupt this with Paul McGinley if he's ready to go. So Len Dowling says, please tell me there's a pod today where you will take your sweet time in going through John Ram's 11th hole insanity. That was a moment for amateur hackers everywhere. We will come to that. That was rather strange. Gar Evans, lads, get Jason McAteer on as a hard-hitting big money guest of the show. He seems to like talking golf. He sure does.
He loves his golf. He actually, I don't know how much golf you got into talking with him. He had said when I interviewed him about 6 months ago that I will definitely set you up with Phil Kenyon. And we'll hook up. Never happened though.
He really loves his golf. He was on the Off the Ball Football show. He was absolutely canvassing for free Titleist drivers and equipment, the way he was talking. I mean, he was like, send it here. I love Titleist, was basically what he was saying. But McAteer's been on the show before and has talked very openly about pretty severe depression that he suffered when he retired, and he's gone through years of counselling. But he has said that golf has been massive in helping him recover from his mental health issues.
Why?
It gives him a focus, gives him an outlet for competitiveness, gets him up in the morning because he's enthusiastic about practicing and trying to get better and hitting the different shots. And you get out, you get fresh air, you get some exercise, a whole multitude of reasons. He was saying it's been really important for him.
It's that competitive streak that never leaves somebody. And when they lose it, it's very difficult to replace it.
Very tough. And you need stuff as you get older. George Bush getting his first hole-in-one age 72. It's nice.
Have you had a hole-in-one?
Is it nice though? Like, I think we've been involved with covering golf for too long that suddenly George Bush, this war-hungry maniac, is... isn't that nice for him?
Sorry, 72-year-old man gets hole-in-one. Okay. It's nice.
There you go.
Not George Bush. Mm. Donal O'Hagan, you know you've made it when out of the blue in a Dallas hotel room, a lad from Mullingar appears in an ad with Tiger Woods. Yeah, Connor Sketches, Tiger Woods ad. I DM'd him on Twitter to say, your life is insane right now.
I think I DM'd him the exact same thing.
Did but also, reply?
Yeah. He's somehow he's still remaining grounded.
He's a friend of the pod. He's a good friend of the pod.
In fact, when he returns, I think from America, he's going to come on the pod.
Good, great.
So you can have that weekend off.
Thanks. As per usual.
Can you do impressions?
Have you seen the Tiger Woods ad he does?
Yes, brilliant.
Super. What's the best? Like, it's very funny.
It's actually hilarious. Yeah, it's great. You sort of assume a Tiger Woods ad, it's... Yeah. You know, Tiger's in it, so the fun factor comes down immediately.
But he has a sense of humour, Tiger, obviously. You know?
Surely.
Really, really tough. Like, Tiger was going for it.
I don't say that. Really? Really?
Jonathan O'Driscoll, much talk of the players being recognised as a major. This bloody conversation every year. A fifth major, though, would distort the history of the game. We'd never have someone chasing Jack's record again. Also, do we need another major in the States? Sure, they consider replacing the PGA Championship with the players, maybe. Let's just agree to leave things as they are.
Correct.
On the majors front.
I think most sane people would agree, but I do wonder if, listen, in the modern world, everything is...
Money, money, money.
Exactly.
By the way, if you want to play around at the players, I really went deep on checking courses everywhere. $400.
Okay.
I would have thought that's about what it would be. Jimmy Kiernan, great win for McIlroy on Paddy's Day. Great gesture from Jim Furyk at the end, being the first man to congratulate him. What a gent. Looking forward to At Golf Weekly OTB this week. I thought that was a nice touch from Furyk.
Oh, it was, yeah.
Really classy.
How well did he play?
48 years of age. Wow.
He had the stellar look, didn't he?
Yeah.
Does that give you hope?
Yes, it did, actually. Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. I'm being serious.
I know. No, it does.
You're what?
Yeah.
4 years younger than him.
I am 45 tomorrow.
Wow.
Wow.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
3 years younger than Furyk. Get back out there, will you?
Okay.
Give it a go. Practice.
That's why I got a driving range.
Yeah. Kieran Brannigan, please talk about how chuffed Harry Diamond looked after Rory's tee shot in 18. 10% of 2.25 million.
Boom.
No. What a tee shot.
Oh, ballsy. I mean, yeah. Someone made the point, I can't remember who, you listen to a lot of golf chat, that Tiger in that position would have had the old stinger iron out. He wouldn't have been taken on an aggressive line.
Well, Azinger commentary was essentially, whoa,
don't do
this
it.
Is unnecessary.
But it's the best club in the bag. Why wouldn't you hit the best club in the bag?
And he's feeling good.
It's like Brooks.
Though with that said, he did say he was worried about that shot from about three holes back. Right. That was the one he was worried about the most, not 17, which he played ultra calm, no fuss. There was a picture then Donal O'Hagan sent in of a child who Matt Kuchar's caddy had obviously given the caddy's bib to. He took a picture. He said, Matt's really saving money on the caddies now. Child labour. And then Paul Fitzsimons, lads, wait, Rory Sabatini is Slovakian now? Is he eligible for the Ryder Cup? He's it's more the Olympics he's got
Olympics,
his eye on.
Yeah.
There is some heritage. I think it might be his wife's family.
Wife's family, yeah.
Slovakian, but he's going to play at the Olympics now, you know. Good on Rory Sabatini.
Yeah, the European Tour, the Ryder Cup is European Tour rather than European.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. So we'll move on to Rory McIlroy. Paul McGinley's going to join us momentarily. The lads are going to ring him out
about
there.
About 5-6 minutes.
Okay, great. Well, then let's talk Rory McIlroy. So Rory, an early double bogey in his final round, finished with a 70, 16 under par, one shot ahead of Jim Furyk, who had threatened to become the oldest winner of the tournament at 48. Furyk set a target of 67, two birdies in the last three holes. What about a shot into the green on 18, Furyk's?
Fantastic. Oof. Absolutely. It was right, reminded me of, remember Hal Sutton? Be right today. Do you remember that one?
Yeah. Funny, Rich Beam said the same thing.
Yeah.
Was that at the Players, that Hal Sutton shot?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He essentially would have sacrificed his game as Ryder Cup captain for about 18 months.
Yes and no, depending on how much he really got into it. Mm. Somebody like Paul McGinley sacrificed his game. Somebody like Thomas Bjorn sacrificed his game because he was big into the Ryder Cup. Jim Furyk, less so.
There's less to do as the away captain as well. You've no say over the course. That seems to be one of the big issues. You've got to do a lot of research and then design the course to suit your players.
Yeah.
So then McIlroy comes along, played really well. That's his 15th PGA Tour title. You know, he's 10 years on tour. Another 10 to 15 years. He could very easily end up with close to 40 PGA Tour titles.
Yeah.
And 8-9 majors. I'm feeling good again about
Rory. I was just going to say, it's incredible how quickly our attitude towards Rory has flipped. Like, what, a month ago we're sitting here going, oof, what's your over-under? And I think we're all sort of 5-6.
Yeah.
Whereas now you're going, whew, I tell you, could probably win 3 this year.
That's in the fourth, then fifth, then fourth, then second, then sixth, and now first run. I was feeling really good about him. Mm. I wasn't looking at this Sunday collapse thing as an issue. It was no more extreme than a few years ago when he was having bad rounds on a Friday. just, you know, it's coming. And we have a clip here of McIlroy. He was talking to Steve Sands on the Golf Channel, and he was asked, you know, what's the difference with fourth, fifth, fourth, second, sixth, and now winning, and how did all that contribute to winning today? Here's what he said.
Honestly, I think it was just all those experiences that I'd had starting the year. You know, a good chance in Hawaii, a good chance in LA, chance in Mexico last week. And I think just it's a culmination of just getting those experiences. And I felt more and more comfortable each time. And even like I almost liked today because it was tough. I knew the guys weren't going to get away from us, especially when I made double on four. I knew, you know, it was a similar start to what I had yesterday. I knew there were some chances coming up, so I just stayed as patient as I possibly could. And anytime I looked at the leaderboard, I was pleasantly surprised that I hadn't fallen, you know, two, three shots behind. So, you know, that gave me a little bit of encouragement to keep going and, you know, played a great back nine.
You are used to winning all over the world. How would you describe how difficult it is to get across the finish line in a championship like this?
It's hard. I mean, it was a difficult day. You know, you've got guys, you know, maybe starting two or three hours before us, they go out shoot 66, 67, and all of a sudden they post a number. I had no idea Eddie Pepperell was where he was, and he's post 66, and I'm like, wow, we've got the 14 under par. So it's tough. I mean, the depths of fields, you know, this is probably the deepest field of the year. You know, there's so much on the line, and, you know, I'm just thankful that, you know, it was my turn this week.
It sure was. Eddie Pepperell, who said afterwards in Sky, he felt like Seve out there. Wasn't hitting the ball very well, but just during the greens, he felt like a god. With McIlroy, more than anything, that all the many impressive aspects of the performance was, I thought, even after he won, there was just a steeliness about it. There was a, this is business as usual for me. This was not a, oh my God, I'm back, thank God, kind of a moment. This was, yeah, that's been coming. I've already digested it almost. He enjoyed it for sure, but there was a real steel, I thought, about the way he finished out that tournament.
Very much so. You know, you look at the tee shot that he hit, 17, tee shot he hit on the last was probably the most impressive. I never thought he'd hit it left of the flag on 18 with his second shot. Like, I think he probably a little bit, you know, tried to hold it up and it moved a little bit more. But, you know, as you said, when he finished, he was just super cool. There was no, thank God, as you said, it's over and, you know, let's hug and move on. He seems to be on a man on a mission rather than, you know, this is another hurdle that he wanted to get over and now he's going forward. What impressed me the whole week was actually Harry Diamond. He's proved now, as we all do, and I was one of them, the naysayers, that he wasn't the right man for the job.
How has he proven that? Because this might just be outcome-based analysis. If Rory had finished third again and played much as well, would you not be sitting here saying, maybe the difference is he should have a different caddy? What did Diamond do?
I don't think he did anything different than any other caddy would have done. But he... performance is everything. Results are everything. You know, in his job, results are everything. And he's got his man over the line. No matter how he's done it, maybe he's just done nothing to get his man over the line.
So say in a different parallel universe, Rory takes driver on 18 and out of nowhere hooks it and it's into the water.
Yeah.
We are lambasting Harry Diamond for not stepping in.
No, absolutely not. I would never say that. It was like Ricky giving Brooks the driver in the US Open. The same thing. It was his best club in the bag. Rory is probably the best driver of the ball there ever has been.
It seemed as though there was actually very little discussion between them over those closing holes. Maybe Harry Diamond, the brilliance of him in that moment was that he knew to
say nothing,
step aside and just let McIlroy take it.
Yeah. Delighted to say Paul McGinley is suddenly with us. Hello.
Hello. Hello, Joe. How are you?
You're here on Golf Weekly. We are mid-Rory chat. Nathan's here. Peter Laurie is here as well. We were just reflecting on Rory's shot on 18 at Sawgrass and Harry Diamond staying well out of the way. Would we all be lambasting him if Rory had snap-hooked it into the water?
Well, imagine what you would have been saying if he'd done what John Ram did.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
poor old Adam Hayes trying to tell John, don't do it, John.
Hey, Paul, how are you? Peter here.
Hello, Peter. How are you doing?
Very good.
How's Spalwell going? I hear you're doing well up there.
Oh, making a fortune, Paul, a bit like yourself. Making a fortune.
So you're today is for you a bit of an Irish Open launch day, another step on the road. You're doing interviews across the afternoon, is that right?
Yeah, another step on the road is right. It's been full on, I have to say. It's a huge amount of work, starting from a blank sheet of paper, because obviously we got no template in place from doing an Irish Open down in Lahinch before. Everything is starting from scratch, where, you know, stands are going to go, you know, the trucks are going to go, the traffic, the parking, the hospitality, you know, players' lounges, practice ground. I mean, everywhere, on and on and on. So it's been full on. I've been in daily contact with the people down there in Lahinch in particular, or the tour, kind of every day now for kind of 6 months. And that will obviously escalate as we get closer. So it's all fine. It's a lot of work. It's a huge amount of work. I'm enjoying it. And it's interesting to see how the whole thing is coming together.
Chatting to some of the people from the European Tour earlier on, they were saying that because of the new schedule, Paul, that when it comes to big name announcements, and they said, you know, obviously confirming this week Patrick Harrington was going to be there, a lot of the players are probably might even wait till after the US Open before deciding what that run-in to the Open Championship looks like. Are you getting any sort of sense in America of what the attitude of the Americans is to coming over to an Irish Open?
Yeah, that's exactly where it's at. I mean, to be honest, everybody's feeling their way through this new schedule. They don't want to get burnt out by the middle of the summer. Obviously, they got the Open Championship 2 weeks after the Irish, and then they've got the FedEx and the $15 million to play for in that 3 week trip there in August. So it's all kind of condensed very slowly, slowly. I've had verbal commitments from a number of players that yes, they are intending on playing, but they don't want to announce it yet because they want to get through the Masters and probably get through the PGA in May before they will decide exactly what they're going to do around the time of the Open. So it's kind of frustrating, to be quite honest, Nathan, from my point of view. I mean, having been involved, obviously, with the Ryder Cup, you know, I underappreciated the value of knowing that the 24 players are going to turn up and the best 12 players from Europe are going to be there. You know, it's the biggest challenge we got in the golf at the moment. It's not just the European Tour, the PGA Tour, is that the players hold the power, the players hold the leverages and when and where they decide to play. And even though we're putting on $7 million and a huge prize fund, it's the norm now for the top players. In fact, it's kind of at the bottom of the norm. They wouldn't play in an event that's smaller than $7 million. So it's quite incredible how the money has escalated for the top players in the game. And as a result, they have a lot of choice and they have a lot of leverage in terms of when and where they want to play.
How does all that work from your point of view? Are you, when you're out with Sky Sports doing the bigger events, are you working the driving range, pressing the flesh, trying, you know, going directly to the player and, you know, well, can I sort you out with accommodation for family, or, you know, what could I do to get you over? Are you having those conversations, or is that a bit of a no-no? Players wouldn't appreciate that and you have to strictly go through agents and third parties.
It's a bit of both, Joe. It depends on the player. Mm. And it depends the situation. You know, obviously I wouldn't be going near them on a tournament play before they were going out. If I was on the range and I'd see them on a Tuesday or Wednesday and at the time was right or appropriate, I would chat to them and just throw in the Irish Open at the right time. And But I, like I did in the Ryder Cup, I think a lot of the messages you want to get to the players, you know, you do it through their team, through either their caddy or you do it through their manager. I mean, for example, Tiger, he obviously, you know, going up to him and it's difficult to get him on his own when he's not in that mode of concentrating on his golf. So, you know, I've spoke to his agent, I've spoke to his caddy, I spoke to Noda Begay and, you know, Mark Steinberg, and they all know about it. I've given them the video of what Lahinch should be like, and that's all I can do, you know, and this is what we'll do. And I know Tiger's played there in the past, and I know that, you know, preparation for the Open has worked well for him playing Irish Links courses, and we could certainly sort things out for him should he decide to play, not play the Scottish, and we could do something the week after. So they're all aware of it.
You're starting to give me Tiger hope here. You're starting to give me big Tiger hope here.
No. It's highly unlikely, obviously. It's highly unlikely, but he's going to play. But he is aware of it. Yeah. He hasn't committed to any schedule around the time of the Open, but, you know, Mark Steinberg told me only last week, I checked in with him again last week, and he said, it's highly unlikely, but okay. You never know. He said, it is in our mind, and you never know what might happen, but it's highly unlikely, obviously. Same with Mickelson, you know, highly unlikely. He's got family commitments around that time as well, the 4th of July weekend. So, you know, there's a lot of things going in, and the other problem we got is the World Golf event has been put in the week after the Open. So the players are looking at playing that because it counts on both money lists as well. Mm. So they're looking at the schedule around that time. And as I say, they got a huge amount of choice. It's incredible. And as a result, you know, they don't want to be committed. And, you know, no matter where they go, they're going to be paying for a huge amount of money anyway.
You were in Sawgrass then last week to watch Rory finally get his first win in, well, exactly a year at the Players' Championship. What most impressed you?
Well, I mean, I've been on the show a while now, you know, talking to you guys over the last year or two, and, you know, the points I've been making were, you know, it's a new era in his career, it's a new time in his career, you know, he's got to have a different attitude about how he's going to approach it. The competition has upped their game, and he's got to approach things differently. I think we're seeing that. I think we're seeing a much more mature Rory McIlroy. We're not seeing an emotional Rory McIlroy when he's out there. We're seeing a resilient Rory McIlroy when he makes mistakes, and we're seeing a consistent Rory McIlroy. And the second point is, you know, I talked about pointy elbows, and I think he showed the pointy elbows on Sunday. You know, he played the last 10 holes and 4 under par when the guys around him were falling. So those two things were the most pleasing aspects from my point of view. I think he was helped. I don't think it was an absolute vintage performance from McIlroy the way that it's been perceived by a lot in the media, particularly in the American media. I think, you know, he was fortunate. His three closest challengers of Fleetwood, Day, and, you know, John Rahm, 76, 73, 72, got out of the way very quick. And as a result, the guys coming from behind were so far behind that, you know, they couldn't really get ahead of him. Having said that, he finished off the job brilliantly. His second shot, I was walking back from the interview we did at the end of him with Sky. I was walking back to the compound, and I went over to the 15th to... I went into the bunker and just looked at the shot he had. I mean, what a shot. It's a pity we didn't have the shot tracer on that because, I mean, he's moved that 30 yards in the air from 180 yards to a very, very narrow pin position at the front of the green with a runoff right and left of the flag. He's hit it in there 15 feet. What a shot that was. He couldn't even see it land. There was that much bend on it. Right. And then hold the putt. That gave him the initiative then with the par 5, 16 to come.
Yeah. Listen, I know your time is short, so we won't keep you. I think it's worth emphasising with LaHinch and with the Irish Open, regardless of what names come, I think it's going to just be a brilliant festival. Like, LaHinch is this iconic golf course. The difference, frankly, between the number one player in the world and the 100 guy in the world, if you're just watching the quality of their shots, is often null and void. I think people are going to respond to this down in LaHinch, regardless of what happens. You must be pretty hopeful.
Very hopeful, Joe. Very hopeful. I think that we're more than going to hold our own, all things considered, for quality of field. I mean, just quickly, I'll give you a story on the PGA Tour. I mean, the PGA Tour are having the same issues. You know, 3-4 weeks ago with the Honda in West Palm Beach, there was 90 tour players living within driving distance of the course, and only half of them played the tournament. So this is the huge amount of choice that the players have nowadays. So I think, all things considered, we're going to have a really strong field. And I've got some big announcements to come. I've gotten verbal agreement from a number of big players that those announcements are going to come in the next kind of couple of months, I'm hoping. I think we're going to be, all things considered, we're going to be ahead of the game in terms of the quality of field. That can be reasonably expected in the modern professional game. You know, the norm is not now for everybody to play like it did in the Players last week. That's not the norm anymore in professional golf tournaments, unless you're a major, probably a world event, or even the Players. Other than that, if you get 3 or 4 or 5, you know, big names, and then a good strong players around that, you know, like a Padraig Harrington and a Lee Westwood who have been announced already, that's a really good feel, and that's what we're heading towards, Joe. I think the local community have really embraced this. We're going to have sellout crowds, I believe, and it's going to be a great excitement because I really want to make it a festival, not just a golf tournament. You know, with music, having a few drinks in the streets, you know, live music at night, and a stage in the middle of the town, and you know, all the different things that go with making LaHinch a great place. So,
are you trying to get it back to like to the south of Ireland?
And I think we've got a lot to look forward to.
Are you trying to get it back like the south of Ireland, Paul?
Those were good days, Pete.
Absolutely.
That was a real major. That was our first major.
Correct.
That was my first major win. of course, that's what you want. You know, the crack has always been great about LaHinch, and Ireland is known for the crack. Ireland is, you know, down there in the southwest of Ireland, you know, traditional country music is always a part of the custom down there. And, you know, it's important that we stay true to all the roots of the southwest of Ireland. And we're going to do that, you know, with not just the golf, but everything else that goes around it. And I think the people, local community, they don't get a lot of sport down there, if you think about it, live sport, you know, on this scale. You know, you have Munster rugby, Limerick hurling, yes, but, you know, a lot of the big matches are played in Dublin when it comes to that. So I think we're going into a part of the country there that's not used to hosting and having big sporting events, and I think they're going to really embrace it.
No, it'll be great, because actually the Irish Open frankly, it's had lots of things, but it hasn't had that since Killarney. Mm. And Killarney was just great fun. Great, great fun. So if you can replicate that, it's going to be good. Listen, I'd say we're getting the curly finger from your management there. You have somewhere else to be, so we'll let you go. Thanks, Emil.
All right, you're welcome, guys. Good luck. Bye-bye.
Cheers.
Cheers, Paul.
Paul McGinley dropping in there mid-day of pushing the Irish Open. You'd be excited about it, wouldn't it?
Well, all I heard was Tiger Woods.
No, I would have loved to ask him.
Highly likely, right?
Yeah.
Was that? I think that's what he said.
Has he had a chat to Rory, I wonder?
Well, I
yes.
There was,
we had him on, and we had him around the time Rory
okay.
said it, so there was no point kind of going back over that again. And
he could have just guilted him when Rory came over to the shot tracker on Sunday night and as he was shaking his hand and said, so
you're playing the Irish Open,
you're talking to the Irish people here, Rory. What's the story?
He said when it was first announced he had a 15-20 minute chat with Rory.
Okay.
And they never mentioned it. Giant elephant on the pudding green walking around. Yeah. So yes, where were we? Oh, McIlroy. Well, I guess, is there any other final thoughts on the Irish Open?
On the Irish Open? I think you're right. It'll be a good weekend, no matter what. And also, like, obviously, you want the bigger names. There's probably only five players that stop everyone in their tracks in world golf, even, that you go, like Tommy Fleet was a great name for golf people, I think, still. Like, aside from Tiger, Phil, Rory, maybe Dustin Johnson. Even Dustin Johnson.
Just Dustin Johnson does not stop the floating voter. The casual sports fan. I don't think so. Jordan Spieth wouldn't. Like, if Jordan Spieth came to Lynch,
Nathan would be there.
We would lose our minds. We'd be there we'd just follow him all week. Would Jordan Spieth, 100%.
Wow.
Spieth wouldn't call
for two days.
That's cheap out of you. Very cheap. Well. Come on now. Jordan Spieth's in a bit of bother at the moment.
Yeah, but like, we've had Irish Open tour, we've had huge names, and they've missed the cut.
Yeah,
and they've still been decent tournaments. And I think you're dead right with, like, I think from a year ago, Paul was talking about turning Lahinch into this festival for the weekend. Like, Killarney was, for those couple of years,
brilliant.
A very enjoyable 4 or 5
for
days.
For players, for everybody.
Mm. But I remember Killarney, like, McIlroy's caddy at the time, JP, drinking on the street. I think his dad, Jerry, were there. Everyone was just in Killarney.
Correct.
And it was a nice, relaxed week. Rory's probably not in contention that week. And it's a brilliant town anyway. And the weather was great. Everyone was just out in the streets having a few pints. And
that's what an Irish Open should be.
Should be, totally.
We should get a venue like Lahinch or Killarney and stick to it.
Because Ballyliffin last year
moving around the world.
Was, from an off-course point of view, disastrous. Not in terms of logistics.
He said disastrous, not me.
Not in terms of logistics. It worked fine. Everybody got in, everybody got out. There was no focal point to it.
Oh, no, there was...
You could barely get a takeaway open when we were leaving at 8 o'clock.
Literally,
to get a bit of food.
Wow.
There was no atmosphere, I felt, in comparison with what Killarney gives you. Mm. And look, Carton House, it's near Maynooth, but there's no focal point there.
No, anywhere near Dublin, they're used to having big events. Yeah. You want it somewhere where the town is excited, the people are excited, and...
But in Lahinch, you can walk into the town.
Totally.
In Killarney, you could pretty much walk into the town. You know, that kind of feel.
Yeah, I still really enjoyed Ballyliffin, by the way. The course was good, but I'm talking from a focal point afterwards. Mm. Like, what's the...
Like, Portrush nearly had it.
Yeah.
You know?
No, Portrush is good. Like, Portrush for the Open, the town is brilliant crack. Yeah. Portrush is really good. I think did we go into Portrush one night?
And it was
good. Portrush is really good. Yeah, it was really good. But you want somewhere, I think, where players and caddies as well...
Are all
around.
Like, one of the real appeals of St Andrews is that you can be walking around the pubs and
people are walking up
Thomas
the street.
Thomas John will be in the takeaway in front of you. It's this festival feel.
Yeah.
So that's my Tuppenceworth anyway. Yeah. Can I say about Rory McIlroy? His short game is phenomenal around the greens at the moment.
Mm. He is really sharp, improved. Yeah. Really has improved.
That's a sign of work, I think. Hard work.
I was going to ask, is that a technical thing or
no,
is this all
really
a part
is.
Of his new it's mentality? Actually,
no, it's confidence with the putter.
Really?
Yeah. Because now he doesn't have to hit it into, you know, stone dead.
Takes the stress off.
Take the stress. So,
what are you seeing in his putting?
Just seems to be far happier with that putter that he has, more than anything else.
Is it a new putter?
It's like a mallet style putter when he had had the other one for a while.
How new is it?
I'd say 3 or 4 weeks, is it not?
Okay.
He just looks able to line himself up and let it go. But obviously he's done a lot of work with Brad Faxon on the mental side of it more than anything else. because physically he doesn't look like he's changed his putting stroke. Mentally, he seems to be far better. Mm. He's actually now expecting to hole a few putts, and the ball is running into the hole.
Mm. When McGinley was on a few weeks ago, he was talking about the mental side of it with Brad Faxon, and Faxon been a disciple of Bob Rotella, yeah. And maybe indirectly McIlroy then is picking up some of what Rotella's all about. Like, it's remarkable. And the thing with McIlroy is he seems to go all in on something and it lasts for 6 months, yeah. And then he moves on to something else. So at one stage it was going to the gym and it's all he spoke about, and every press conference he had to bring up how hard he was working and how good he felt about it. Now it seems it's the mental side of things, which he says that it's from reading self-help books, that he's sort of self-educated, yeah. On this. I do wonder how long it'll last until he moves on to the next thing.
Yeah.
And maybe it doesn't need to last that long because the season now is so short. Or if it lasts till August and he wins two majors, yeah. It's been perfect. I first noticed it about a month ago. I think we might have spoken about it at the time, where he did this interview with Nick Doherty after the second round, and he played well. And it was just a very un-McIlroy-like interview. There was didn't seem like there was any great honesty to it. It was actually, no, I'm not going to give of myself as I normally do and beat myself up. I'm going to talk in riddles about attitude and staying positive, and I'm in the moment. And clearly he has stuck with that, because everything that happened in the past week, all his interviews were very much about not getting carried away. As you say, like, there was no giant fist pump when he won the tournament. I know there was still a group behind him, but there was no the one-on-one battle with Patrick Reed where actually I play my best golf and I'm fired up.
Yeah,
it's no, you play your best golf when you're in the mindset of... Yeah.
Absolutely.
It was like that's ticked off, done, already digested.
Move on.
Yeah, already thinking about Augusta as he was walking back towards the clubhouse, you know. On other players then, like the John Rahm madness that even Paul McGinley referenced there. So it was on the 11th if you didn't see it. 562 yards, par 5, 11th. He, Google Earth, on the Golf Digest, Google Earth have looked down to show you the level of insanity. I hadn't fully appreciated.
I didn't see the Google Earth.
It suddenly goes, oh my God, what are you doing? So he hooks his drive into trees, and it's a dog leg left. So what he has to do then is, from in the trees, in a bad lie, he has to hook the ball out and high. This is a par 5, so he's gone for it in 2. Between, a big enough gap between trees, but hook it out and over all water onto the green.
So it's sort of Bubba Watson at the Masters with about another 150 yards added.
At least. I mean, it must be the guts of 200 yards, and there's water all in front of the green, and it's a tight green. Like, even if you got it onto the green, stopping it would have been an issue with that hook, you know? Mm. And his caddy, Adam Hayes, was saying, we can just go there, because basically there was like an option if you want to play the par 5 and 3, water, but you could just lay up with the water in front of you. And it's about 100 yards over the water, straight enough wedge shot.
Yeah.
And Hayes was saying, it's about 100 yards to there. And like, Rahm seemed to be saying, oh, I don't feel confident about that shot. Now, how he didn't feel confident about that shot.
That shot and went for the other one. Yeah.
What made it all the more enjoyable was his post-round interview on Saturday night. So he's leading the tournament, obviously, at this stage, and he's brought in and everybody's saying, you know, it's a fifth major. It's a huge tournament for you. You know, people might question your mentality at times and how you deal with this sort of pressure, and gave these wonderful answers of, no, I'm matured. I'm a different guy. When I put myself in these situations, I can get a clear head now. And then insanity.
Yeah.
It was really clear, wasn't it?
See, I think he felt under pressure because he played the first 9 in 1 over. Mm. But he finished up 3 over. He went to pieces trying to chase it. So it was a real lack of experience. I feel like I didn't see a huge amount of Tiger. His best round of the week was his last one, shot a 69. There's just a clip of Tiger here. He's talking afterwards. Somebody asks him how he feels his game is going into Augusta.
It's you know, right on track. You know, I feel like I'm able to shape the golf ball both ways, which I'm going to need there. Just need a few more putts go in, but that's about it.
Tiger was last week not as much of a setback then as we might have thought, given you missed a tournament you wanted to play.
I needed that. I needed to get that organized. You know, and as I was telling you guys earlier in the week, if my back gets tight, it's going to go up the chain. And so I got to start ground zero and get my lower back moving properly and get everything, the firing sequence good. And then after that, the rest of the chain will take care of itself.
Is that maybe a good thing? I mean, you would have had 4 or 5 weeks. It's pretty stressful conditions, obviously. LA, Mexico, hot. altitude and everything. And maybe looking back, maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah, I think that it was the right decision to make, considering that I have April right around the corner. So make sure I get that organized coming into a week where this week, man, as I said, you can hit a few shots where you're standing on your head having to hit some weird shots. And the way I was feeling it in Mexico, that would have been a tall order for me.
Is there any concern going to match play with the amount of golf you might have to play that week if you make it the whole way to Sunday?
No, I got a week off after that. So no. I'm hoping that I could play all the matches. That would be great. I'm guaranteed to play three instead of the when I played, it was only one guaranteed. So that's kind of nice knowing that I'll be able to get at least three good rounds in, possibly more if I play well. And you know, that's basically like a tournament.
How's your firing sequence, Nathan?
Oof, I'll tell you, this morning when I got out of bed, my glutes activated, but my firing sequence wasn't quite there.
Where did they come up with this stuff?
Tiger's the worst.
One of the worst for it. But where did they? It just baffles me. Do they look up the dictionary on a daily basis and write, we'll throw in a few words that we actually don't understand?
See, sequence is fine. I get that. It's the firing sequence part. Yeah.
I was playing five-a-side last week for the first time in quite a while. And about 5 minutes in, I got real bad pains.
Your glutes.
In my first time in my life, and all I could think of was like, shit.
I didn't activate my glutes.
I spent so much time mocking Tiger for not activating his glutes. I never read into how you actually do activate your glutes. What are the stretches for activating
your glutes? You run around a little bit more.
But eventually I just ran around and it was perfectly fine.
But apparently Shawny Maguire has to go through a very extensive
glute regime.
Yes. Yeah, apparently Shawny Maguire is doing about 30, 40 minutes in the gym before training.
Just on his glutes.
Well,
I suppose it all works its way down
the
then.
The first phase of the 40 minutes is starting with the glutes.
Right.
And then he gets the hamstrings warmed up. Glutes are very important, Peter. Don't mock the glutes.
Okay. I don't know whether... I was on YouTube the other day and I saw a Lee Trevino clip. He was doing a clinic, right? Like, I wonder, did Lee Trevino ever think about his glutes? Did Jack Nicklaus ever think about their glutes and their firing of their... Whatever.
Yeah, but
it's just, it's.
Is that not looking back, like, on our. Why did our grandparents all die 20 years earlier? Because.
Yes. You're such a dinosaur, William.
You know, modern technology takes over.
It's just drivel.
But they weren't aware of their glutes.
No,
maybe they would have won more golf tour. Maybe they were walking around going, I just don't feel great today.
Why didn't they say something that's interesting?
Well, firstly, it's Tiger, so.
A majority of them. Why don't they just say something that's interesting? Interesting.
What did you ever say that was interesting?
Zero.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Why didn't you say something interesting?
When?
When you were playing.
I did.
Did you?
I used to tell the truth. I played poorly.
The novelty that wore off after a few weeks.
Exactly. I played really poorly.
Yeah. I don't know.
It baffles me.
I would think activating your glutes is genuinely very important.
Look, I'm not only talking about glutes, but I'm talking about his other crap that he goes on with.
The interesting news with Tiger, me and Fiona touched last week, is he's got a putting coach now. Matt Killen, 33 years old, rising star, by all accounts. Gave lessons to Kenny Perry when he was a teenager and worked with Justin Thomas's father and worked with Justin Thomas as well. So Tiger has decided he needs to get a putting coach, which is kind of interesting.
So is this guy some sort of statistical genius, or obviously if he's coaching since he was a teenager, it wasn't that he was some sort of wizard putter?
No, I think he learned a little bit off JT's father, Justin Thomas's father, who was obviously a pro and just seemed to have a bit of a knack for it, and worked with Justin Thomas, worked with Kenny Perry. And
Kenny Perry's a really good putter.
Is he?
Really good. And holds out very, very well.
Okay. Well, Tiger Woods has said, you know what? I need some help.
Well, fair play. First time he's probably ever said that.
Did you see much of Tiger?
On the TV?
Yeah.
Yeah, quite a bit.
What'd you make of him?
It's good, to be fair. I don't think he's going to be into kind of major status this year.
Really? Why?
Yeah. Just don't think he's good enough anymore, to be honest. I think there's too many good players out there that are better than him.
Is Tiger now, though, not better than he was when he was leading the British Open on a Sunday?
No. No chance.
He was better last June, July, was he?
I thought you meant
last British Open.
Yeah.
Up until he made a mess of the 11th.
Mm. Yeah.
He was leading the Open at the turn on a Sunday.
Yes.
Now, I would think he's in better shape now than he would have been then.
Yeah, but he's still not. I don't think he's still he'll win a couple of tournaments, don't get me wrong. Mm. But when it comes to majors, everybody seems to be able to up their game at the right time. So he has to play against far more players now that are much younger than him, hit the ball further than him, and have very little fear. He doesn't have that same effect on players that he did in the past. He was able to dominate Ernie Els. You could name them all that he was able to dominate. He can't dominate anybody anymore.
But he's a better player now. He's more consistent now, I would think, and more sure of his body than he was at the British Open last year.
Yeah, but you said to me there only earlier on, one performance doesn't make, you know, the British Open.
He then won the Tour Championship finale.
Mm. He fell over the line, I would have said.
Well, he won.
Yes.
If he falls over the line to win
he
a major,
still wins.
Nobody gives a damn. There's nothing.
I don't see him winning the major.
There's nothing from what Tiger's done so far this year that's been in any ways impressive.
No, but he's had but neck issues and a few bits and bobs.
We just don't know with Tiger what. Like, I can't imagine he's being smarter in how he prepares for things. You sort of, as you commented on the picture there, he's looking well built as ever. But there's four majors coming up in the space of 4 months. He knows one of his issues is going to be fatigue and his body breaking down. Mm-hmm. Is he just doing things in a very different way, that he's just sort of going through emotions, learning a little bit here, learning a bit there?
I think so.
And that when he gets to Augusta, he wants to be pretty much at 100%. We see it all the time. It's the one, if you're betting on majors, it's the one thing you go, how did I not see this?
See, I would.
Here's the guy who's done nothing for 3 months because all he cared about was this.
And he was saying to Henny
Zuhl.
Yes, who's now seems to be doing
interviews. She's his personal interviewer.
Yeah, it's a weird kind of setup.
Great gig.
Yeah, it's
best guy for it.
But he was saying to her that at the moment with his practice, in terms of technical work, he can just about do wedges. And he can't do much. He used to be really smart when he's working on technical stuff. So I would argue it might take him a little bit longer to get stuff in gear, but he's timing that all for the majors. And I think last year, if you can be leading on the Sunday in the Open, I think he got a bit spooked.
That he was leading. I think everybody got spooked.
I just think he hadn't been there so long, and it was like, oh my God, I just got a bit tight and made this uncharacteristically terrible decision to try and get clever with the chip. He should have taken his bogey. We've talked about it a lot. But the fact was, he was there, and then he won the Tour Championship finale. And now, I agree with Nathan that he's slowly. He doesn't worry about winning these tournaments now, I would argue. It's to get himself right for Augusta. And then I think he's got absolutely a chance at the Open. So, I don't know, I'm surprised you're writing him off that severely.
Is saying that he's not going to win writing him off completely?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, right.
In my opinion.
Have you ever seen him do what he did on 17 the other day? Was it 17, 16 with Kevin Na?
Yeah, banter.
Banter? Did he ever do banter in his whole life?
He won't be doing that at a major.
Okay.
I would argue.
It's a player, it's not a major.
See, everything you say would make sense.
Thanks.
For any other player. Aside from Tiger.
Jeepers.
That's like his career is testament that he can do things that nobody else can do.
I just can't believe you're that sure he won't win a major after last year's performances. I'm surprised. Okay. You're basing that what you've seen thus far.
I just think there's too many good players out there now. Yeah. He'll run it close, but there's just too many good players.
He's going to run it close.
No, I said he'd run it close, but there's too many good players.
Nathan? Tiger?
As I say, I really haven't seen anything. Oh, now we're talking. Do you know what I really don't want to happen at Port Rush?
Go on.
Like Jimmy Walker to win it. Or Brandon Grace. I want Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy, or Tiger Woods to win at Port Rush.
Now we're talking.
I want a bit of history.
Mm-hmm.
I want it to be memorable.
Wow. What about Porrick?
Or Porrick Harrington.
Harrington wins the Port Rush. We'll take the week off work, I think.
Okay. Plenty of experience there.
Yeah.
All through his
exactly.
career.
Exactly.
Yeah. Graham McDowell's pushing very hard to qualify at the moment.
So I see, yeah.
Yeah. Is there, with the Open,
there's a local qualifying as well.
Is there ever discretion to go and we're giving him an invite because he's our guy?
No.
None?
No.
Okay.
None.
Orinay won't budge on that one?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
And they're right to.
So obviously we're very much in the countdown to the Masters now. I bloody hell, the pressure on Rory. Going to be,
I think,
insane.
Suddenly very confident.
And also, I wonder, right now you'd have him as a strong favourite considering he's finished, top 10 each of the last 5 years. You know he can play the course inside out.
Last year's Rory was good enough to get into the final round on the Sunday.
And this year's is a whole lot better.
This year's is a whole lot better.
But if he doesn't win it, with everything having gone so well, the fallout ain't going to be pretty for him.
It depends on how he doesn't win it, I suppose. Mm. You know, is Rory collapsing? Serious question: is Rory collapsing in the final round of the Sunday on the back nine, going to pieces? Is that worse for him than if he just misses the cut because it was just there was bad weather and it was a mess and he didn't cope well with it and just one of those terrible 2 days?
I would have said it's worse for him personally. Yeah,
to collapse on the Sunday.
Absolutely. Yeah, so I think it depends on the nature. That depends would on the come nature after it will just it'd ruin his life for the next year because it's going to be every press conference, every tournament he rocks up at. Have you mentally recovered from it?
Yeah.
It didn't damage him overly the last 6 weeks though.
No, and yeah, I think he's kind of got ahead of it and has been very good when he's spoken about the Masters and will reel off the Grand Slam and what he can do and isn't shying away from the history of it. But with the new schedule, like you can have, like Rory's already had a very good season, but if you're a player who peaks in July now, you could have 4 wins from July to October.
That's true.
And have had this unbelievable season, but unfortunately, you peaked 4 months too late.
It's worth checking the circadian rhythms.
So,
Definitely there's players that do that.
Did you have a time of year?
Yeah.
What was it?
Zero. I might as well get that in before.
There was that one day at the Spanish Open.
Yeah. I want to write that book, One Day in the Sun.
Did you have a time of year where you hit your...
When I really played well, yeah, I would go peaks and troughs. So I'd play very well at the end of the season and very well early on in the season.
Right.
Middle of the season, I kind of went to sleep.
Why, you just get bored?
Maybe just, yeah.
The grind.
I wouldn't have said I got bored, but...
Scar tissue builds up.
Yeah.
I always play very well in September time, for September, October. Can't be stopped.
Wow.
I've never won a competition outside of those
gives
2 months.
Gives you hope heading into the...
I don't know what it is. I guess as an amateur, you're playing a lot more golf over the summer and then you start to come good. And then they might go into placing and you're like, this is easy. Yeah. Around the greens.
Or is it that? So... The golfers of similar ability have played so well over the summer, their handicap is lowered where you've just stayed steady and suddenly...
Oh no, I play much better stuff. Like I'll get a few shots knocked off my handicap around that time for whatever reason.
You just make sure he doesn't get any lessons off me, you know, in Spawa.
Honestly.
He ran away from that lesson, do you know that?
Stay away from that man. Brooks Koepka, just finishing this, he has intentionally, speaking to Golf Channel's Ryan Lavner, lost 24 pounds.
How many stone is that? Is that 2 stone? 3 stone?
All I can say is that has to be muscle that he's lost.
It's 14 pounds in a stone. So he's lost over 3 stone.
It has to be muscle because there's not a lot of weight on the guy.
Yeah. No, you're right, yeah. He won't disclose the reasoning, according to Golf Channel's Ryan Lavner. You'll see, he told Lavner, after Wednesday, I'll be fine. That's this week. I haven't seen any Koepka since. According to Lavner, Koepka has been training more often and eating better. He says he plans to, quote, eat normal again, and said the diet is only for 4 months of my career. Koepka says the loss of weight, he's down to 190, means there isn't as much weight going through the ball. With that, he's lost about 12 yards off the tee. I don't have as much feel either. I just feel out of sorts. He is 60th in strokes gained off the tee.
Wow.
And the speculation on Twitter is it's for the ESPN body issue. What else could it be for? Is he getting married on the sly? Shouting for the wedding?
Maybe.
It's the most bizarre story.
Well, this will be one of these that he ends up not having a top 10 all year and what went wrong.
Should have won, was it the Honda? He's played okay, but it's strange.
I haven't seen enough of him to notice 3 stone weight loss.
I know.
He has the ability to be very quiet in tournaments, hasn't he? Like he just seems to drift in. Drift out.
He can't.
Nobody really pays attention.
We talked a lot about him last week because he did a fascinating press conference with Selvin Fionn. And the gist, not to bore listeners who already heard, so won't dwell on it, but he was explaining why he plays so much better at majors. And in short, it was at majors, no matter what happens, I just accept it instantly. Double bogey, that's fine, move on. Got to move on, it's a major. PGA Tour, he says, if I'm not winning by 4 shots Friday, I am pissed off. Because he said, and he didn't... It might sound arrogant. It didn't come across in an arrogant way. It was quite matter of fact. He said, because honestly, I find this game very easy. I just do. So if I'm not winning by Friday, I'm like, come on. Whereas a major, serene.
Yeah. Golf does come very easy to him, I have to admit. When you watch him, it's like, it wasn't meant to be that easy, but it is.
Have you texted him for that interview yet?
No.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't going to text him. I was going to text Ricky, by the way.
Okay.
We take Ricky as well. Yeah. Fowler, right?
No. Barnes.
When
I take Ricky Barnes.
He's disappeared.
Butch and Claude taught him to play a fade for the first time. Apparently his reply was, it can't be that easy. And they were like, is that it going to be that easy for you, Ricky?
Yeah.
Or Brooks, yeah.
Send him to Peter for a few lessons.
Shout!
Oh.
That'll ruin you.
You're not meant to slag me here, Nathan. Sorry. That's his job.
Wow.
This week, Valspar, Dustin Johnson, Jason Day, John Rahm, Sergio Garcia. Good field, that'll do.
Yeah.
Gary Woodland's there, Patrick Reed, Brant Snedeker. Jim Furyk playing at 28-1.
No.
Henrik Stenson, Louis Westhuizen, and on they go, Bubba Watson. And then the Maybank is on, Padraig Harrington making his return out in Malaysia.
Yes, very warm this week.
Thomas Peters, the favourite at the moment after the first round. I think Harrington is 70.
So Harrington was saying he feels it's going to take a long, long time to get back to where he wants to be.
Yeah, his hand is not as good as he had hoped.
Really?
So there's a long-lasting impact to it?
More mentally than anything else, I would have said.
As in, there's something stopping him committing to shots out of thick, heavy rough?
He's just a bit worried about it, yeah.
Oof.
I was talking to Ronan there the other day and say, like they'd hoped to play Bayhill. He said he practiced beforehand, thought it was okay, and then wasn't good enough.
When you say wasn't good enough?
It wasn't good enough to play. He said it was it was sore.
Okay.
Sorry, left hand it was. So he hit lots of right-handed shots, so surprised to see how he gets on out here. But Malaysia's, everything's up in the air, this ground is very soft, so it'll help him. And the heat also.
Mm. Ball travels further, won't have to put as much into it kind of thing?
No, I'm just talking about the heat, so he'll have no kind of stress, you know, feelings, you know, no tight muscles or anything like that. Yeah. Literally, when you walk out, you're covered in perspiration.
Mm. Perspiration. Are you playing much?
None.
Yeah, you look at Furyk.
Yeah,
you were.
Don't even say I was nearly as good as Furyk. Absolutely not. Jim Furyk has had a.
He wasn't going to say that.
No. Okay.
No offense, I wasn't going to say that.
Thanks.
You were a European player.
Yes.
Tour player for over a decade.
Yes.
You had a rocky end.
Yes.
Things got a bit messy. You were a coke addict.
Yes. Cola.
Cola. Why the
I got
hell?
You on Golf Channel for that.
Yes.
That's true. You make global news. Why the hell at this stage don't you say to yourself, you know what? I'm going to give it the old Steve Stricker here. I've got my fantastic range at Spawell.
Yes. Well done, Joe. I can't teach for you.
I'm going to give this another crack. I'm going to start getting there early. I'm going to do 3 hours of practice a day. I'm going to give this a shot again.
Where am I going to play?
Get on the Challenge Tour.
Why don't yourself and McGrain go out and put a grand on it per game and suddenly there's a bit of pressure?
Yeah.
I mean, get back out there.
Okay.
Seriously, does that not cross your mind?
It did actually cross my mind. I thought, I'll answer you honestly, this week, right, I said to myself, right, I'll go back and I'll join the Irish PGA and I'll play some pro-ams.
Mm.
I'm not allowed to join.
Why?
Because I'm not eligible for any categories.
Well, that's fine. Look, that's beneath you. Screw all that. I'm talking about getting back to Q school. So, like, your driving went to pot towards the end.
Yes.
Left, right,
I can drive it now perfectly.
This is my point.
Yes.
So, I just think there was a level of psychological scar tissue which built up the grind.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I had a meltdown.
Had a meltdown.
I'm much better now.
Right. And now you've had a break.
Thanks. It's time to go back.
Well, I just think that scar tissue.
My wife would love me to go back, actually.
Well, you've seen the other side. Yeah. And it's shit.
Real life is shit, Peter.
Okay.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. I don't know, I think if it was me, seriously, like, I'd think, I've had a break. It's time to rev this engine up again, Steve Stricker style, and see what I can do.
I still have another year before I have to rev up the engine, and then I'll start revving up
is
the engine.
Is that for seniors?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We could do a little Golf Weekly documentary, follow you back to Q school.
Literally words out of my mouth.
Thanks.
It would be a hell of a documentary now if you said, I'm going to try and get back on tour.
Okay. Will you follow it?
Because even if it doesn't work, 100%. It's still brilliant viewing.
Yeah. There'd be tears, there'd be close up at the moment you realise it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Except for Joel sitting
it'll
in the background.
Perfect
going,
radio.
far worse than we could have ever imagined.
Look, what do I know? I'm just throwing it out there. But I was just curious if it had crossed your mind when you see
it had,
Furyk.
For sure.
Could you get into, what sort of tournament could you get into?
Now?
Right now. You're to make a few calls.
Challenge Tour, maybe. I promised I wouldn't go back to main tour.
It's just the way you're driving the ball last time I played with you.
Sure, we could get an invite off McGinley to the Irish Open.
Exactly.
There you go. I really want him.
Why don't you? We'll make a documentary about it. Okay. Seriously, seriously.
Okay.
Really give yourself now, what, you've got 3-4 months?
Yeah.
So let's say 3-4 months.
For what now?
Invite to the Irish Open.
Okay.
McGinley will sort you out.
He will, all right.
We'll do it to promote the Irish Open.
Yeah, we'll do it as a documentary. Laurie,
I go to the qualifying. How about that? There's a qualifying now for the Irish Open.
That's beneath you.
No, okay, right.
Seriously.
Thanks.
We go to McGinley, we'll pitch to him. It's a documentary. We follow you. 3-4 hours a day practice. Really go for this. I guarantee you would turn up at Lahinch. Guarantee it.
Okay.
And you'd make the cut, no problem. You might. Do you know what? You'd win the bloody thing.
Do you want a caddy?
1.5 million.
You could be the Harry Diamond of this world.
Screw him. I'm your vibes man.
Oh, right.
He'll be giving you all this technical advice. You don't need that. You just need someone to keep you on the straight and narrow.
Okay. I don't know. Look, it's just, obviously you think it's too, that road back is too tough.
No, that doesn't bother me. Toughness never bothered me. It's the fact that, you know, if I'm going to do it, I'll do it. You know, but I have to make that decision to do it.
Do you not have the hunger to? Is that the issue?
A bit like Jason McAteer, right, that you were talking about earlier on. If you go back down that road, right, because I've literally put the clubs away for that reason, because I didn't want to go over the edge, because you miss that competitive edge.
Yeah.
So if you go back down that road, you open up that hornet's nest again to go back and, you know, play and really that competitive edge. Mm. But that's when I was my happiest, you know. So, there you go.
Okay. We'll nag you about this again at some stage.
Okay.
Right.
No problem.
Are we done?
I think we're done.
We're done.
Peter, thank you. Spawell, Peter Laurie Golf Academy.
There you go.
Some really good coaches there.
No, Spawell Golf Academy. I wouldn't actually name it after myself.
Well, you should have. When's...
You need a big sign outside.
Do I?
I was driving in past it yesterday off the M50.
Yeah.
How do I know it's there?
There is a sign, yeah.
Well, there's not a giant sign.
Sorry, I missed it too, actually.
There's not a giant sign.
That's how I came out.
Gee, thanks, lads.
So you need... It's helpful advice.
Hopefully have the top tracer now up 1st of April. So anybody who's interested, just give us a shout and start booking your slots.
Somebody say Golf Weekly listeners discount.
Yeah, everybody comes in and says friend of the pod.
Do they?
Yeah. There you go now.
Interesting.
We're going to have to give a bit of reduction for our friend of the pod listeners.
Anyone who walks up to the desk and says Peter, friend of the pod.
Yeah.
They get a little discount. You can decide.
That'd two free cool. balls.
Two balls. Tops. No, a Peter Laurie lesson in 4 minutes.
Okay. How to ruin your game. How to ruin your game in 4 minutes.
Interaction about Peter's lessons. Do people run out and nick the balls?
No.
Okay. Because Harrington that night at the launch reckoned that was going to be your biggest issue.
Yeah.
The people nicked the balls.
I have a good old shotgun though, you know.
When I first started, I was a demon for doing that.
Were you?
Incredibly childish. I just was like, oh, I can't quit. I just need to hit one more shot. Honestly, I've had owners come out and say, what are you doing? Get off the grass. You're an adult. As I come back, like, with balls.
No, I think Harrington meant
people. Oh, no. Yeah, young lads actually
nicking the balls.
Yeah, yeah, oh, yeah. Like, okay.
Yeah.
Right, we actually have to go. The hurling show is on the way. So, okay. Peter, thank you.
Thank you.
Nathan Murphy, we'll talk next week. Good luck.